It was another busy virtual meeting for the Baltimore City Council last night. Council members passed two prominent bills about the legacy of Christopher Columbus, as well as legislation about the city's hospitality labor force. And they also introduced two new measures, one that would boost tenant protections and one that would officially suspend water shutoff. WYPR's Emily Sullivan is on the line to talk us through all of it. And Emily, let us start with the new legislation dealing with water bills.
Sure. So people might remember the Water Accountability and Equity Act, legislation that passed in January to create a tiered water bill discount program and create an independent office for customer issues. That was supposed to go into effect over the summer, but just 4 days before that deadline, Mayor Jack Young delayed its implementation until 30 days after the ongoing pandemic state of emergency is lifted. He cited the financial impact of the coronavirus on city finances. Water justice advocates were not happy. They argued that now more than ever, residents need affordable water bills. They lobbied City Council President Brandon Scott to introduce a bill last night that would immediately create renter protections and make a water shutoff moratorium official. It also mandated that the Water for All Affordability Program and Independent Customer Affairs Office be established by July of next year.
And speaking of renter protections, let's hear about the new Tenants' Right to Counsel bill.
That piece of legislation is what it sounds like. It would establish a housing department program to provide tenants with legal counsel for eviction proceedings. Council President Scott also introduced this bill as the financial impact of the pandemic continues and low-income renters are vulnerable, like Shalonda Glasgow, who's faced multiple eviction attempts from her landlord. She says all she did was complain about a mice infestation.
So the more I complain about the problems, the more they want me out. So facing eviction is stressful. It's very stressful. So as far as COVID-19 goes, it just made things worse for me as an individual, being able to provide for myself. But my management company is making it even harder to try to get the money up to pay them when they're constantly trying to evict you at the same time.
The bill would also require the housing department to create a tenants' rights pamphlet that would be included with all city leases.
And let's now pivot to the bills that passed last night and are on their way to Mayor Young's desk.
Two prominent labor bills passed after fierce debate before the council between unions and hotel owners. The first of these bills, both introduced by Councilman Chris Burnett, would require hospitality companies like hotels, casinos, to hire back their original workforce once they reopen. And the second would require hotel owners to retain their current workers for at least 90 days if the business changes hands.
And another couple bills that passed yesterday re-examine Columbus's legacy in Baltimore. Talk about those.
Up first, the council passed a bill that would rename a Columbus monument to honor victims of police brutality. Councilman Ryan Dorsey sponsored this legislation to rename the towering white brick and stucco Columbus obelisk in Herring Run Park to the Police Violence Victims Monument. Also passed a bill that would rename Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, sponsored by Councilman John Bullock. The council invoked a special rule that allowed the bill to pass both its second reading and a third and final reading on the same night, so that the name change can occur in time for next week's holiday. Now, whether that actually happens is up to Mayor Young, who'd have to sign the bill in time. His office didn't respond to a request for comment about the bill.
Emily Sullivan covers Baltimore City Hall and many other things for WYPR. Emily, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks, Nathan.